1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to read verses 12 through 15. So you can hold that spot at page 842. We're only going to go back and forth between two parts of Scripture today. We're going to use the principle that's been lost. It's very important, and we always speak about this. You let Scripture interpret Scripture. You don't need a fancy Bible commentary all the time, and you definitely don't need someone's opinion. So what we're going to do is we're going to take 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and then we're going to compare it with Luke, the Gospel of Luke chapter 19. And what we're going to see is that the Scripture will come alive because we are blessed to have Jesus Christ as our teacher to help illustrate what Paul is speaking about, and Paul is speaking Christ's words. So who better to learn from than the Lord Jesus? So let's read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now last week, we went through verses 10 and 11, which talks about the foundation we need. Your life, your ministry, all of you have a ministry. You don't come here to just sit on the sidelines. You all have a ministry, men and women included. You are all ministers of God. Did you get that? You're all ministers of God. Jesus wanted the apostles to be ministers of His word. Jesus is not like other worldly teachers where He holds secrets back. Or He's not the karate teacher that teaches you the 99 levels and then the 100th form, that secret form He doesn't want to give away, because if He gave it to you, He'd have to shut down His class. Jesus gave all the power, all His secrets, everything in the open to whoever would listen to Him. Christianity is not politics. It's not a secret society. You don't have to make certain friends, you know, certain knocks or handshakes to get in. He tells you how to do it. He gives you all the power, because it only comes from on high and from Him. Amen. Now, once you have that power, you're supposed to go out there and replicate what He did. And we're going to see that today. And if you don't, you will be judged. That's what this verse is speaking about. It's not saying that we aren't saved by grace or by faith, but Jesus, just like any other organization, wants His people to perform at a certain level. He wants you to have a living faith, not a dead faith. Too many times you go to a church, or you've been a member of a church, and you're being spoken at. Somebody gets in the pulpit, they feel smart, they throw lots of terms at you, you really can't understand. Or they keep it so simple, you never get past the milk. Every one of you, you are a thinking person, you have intelligence. I don't care if you're going home to a mansion after this sermon, or if you're going home to a cardboard box on the boardwalk, you have the same responsibility to make disciples for the King.
Amen.
And you will be judged if you have a lazy faith, a dead faith. You're not saved into nothing. You're saved into something. And the greatest scheme of the devil is to make you think that you have no power. Now, there are three different categories with these verses, verses 12 through 15. First of all, we have the ministry of God's people will be put to the test. So your ministry on this planet, no one's off the hook, will be put to the test. God will see what it was built on. And if you really want to test something like a precious metal, everybody understood this in antiquity. Everybody understands this now as the dollar's collapsing and currencies around the world. What are people running to buy? What are they running to buy up? Gold! Gold! So for 2,000 years now, since Christ came, we've been making funny money in different things, but still run back to what God says has intrinsic value, and that's gold. But the way to test gold, you got to heat it up. Any metal, if you want to purify it, if you want to put it to the test, you heat it up. And God will heat up your works. He will test you. And what this means is God is going to look at everything you did in your life. Like that old movie that I love, The Good, the Bad, the Ugly. He's going to look at everything you did. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, if you are a believer, you are saved in Christ. You don't have to perform a certain way to be saved. But those things that you built up in your life that weren't built on Christ will be burned away by the King when He comes. Because God is going to take a perfect bride into heaven. So this text is telling you, yeah, you're saved, but you're not just saved to sit there. You're not saved to just be saved every week and never progress in the faith. You're not just saved to sit in your house as the world goes to hell in a handbasket. Now, it doesn't mean 24 hours a day we're on the street with Bible tracts and yelling biblical verses at people. But it means when you have the chance to spread the word, you better do it. And if you look at this church, if you look at your life, how many times someone was brought to Christ, not by a billboard, not by a fancy publication, by personal witness. You talked to somebody, you saw they weren't doing well, they saw you that you had just as little money as they had, maybe less, but somehow you were still content. Your clothes really weren't any nicer, but you had a different attitude about you. You had a hope that was inside you. And then you go into your personal witness and you bring them to the cross, which is another thing we've been speaking about. So we have no excuse, especially with how much we've been given. So point number one, the ministry of God's people will be put to the test. And anything that you've built that is not built upon Christ for His glory and for His purpose will be burned to the ground. That's why we're very careful here. This is Fellowship Baptist Church. Even in our online ministries, this is Fellowship Baptist Church. This is not Robert Rubino Ministries. Do you get that? This is not my ministry. This is not my church. When people say, hey, oh, you got a church out there. I don't have a church out there. Jesus Christ has a church in Coney Island. And I'm the dog that He brought in that's privileged to speak from the pulpit.
Amen.
This is Fellowship Baptist Church. You want to know who the church is? Come by on Sunday and look at the people. This is not Robert Rubino Ministries.
Amen.
Now you see, if I went that route, what do you think is going to happen when Christ confronts me? That's one of the first things that will be burned away. You name the whole ministry after yourself? Like, you built it? Did I give you a corporation? Or did I give you a church? Did I give you business clients? Or did I give you my sheep? Now, I'm saved because I depend on God for my salvation.
Amen.
But you bet that'll be burned away. This is what God's speaking about. This is what He's speaking about. Now, those works of ministry performed without Christ as the foundation will not last. And that's what's being spoken about in verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So, if you did something that was not in Christ's name, you did something out of order, it'll be taken away. If it's something that's true and valuable, then it'll last. God does not take garbage into heaven. He won't. He's going to remake this earth. He's going to remake heaven, the new heavens and the new earth. No junk is following Him this time. This is our last chance. We've all screwed up. We've all caused our own problems. We will continue to as life goes on, but we repent. And we're waiting for that redemption, because we know when God comes back, He's not going to be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's going to be the lion that reclaims His kingdom.
Amen.
So many people are in for a big surprise. So God's people whose works had Messiah as the foundation will be rewarded. And we see this in verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So you have things that you've done. Like I said, the good, the bad, the ugly. The ugly and the bad are going to go, and the good's going to remain. That's it. That's all this verse is saying. It's not talking about purgatory. It's not saying that you need works plus your faith to get into heaven. It's just saying God expects more. This is what Paul was saying to the Corinthians. Yeah, you live in a metropolitan city. You got money. You got the bling. You got all this stuff going on. You got the clubs, those hot Corinthian clubs, and the strip that you go to at night. Just like New York. Don't fool yourself. They had drinks and drugs and everything else. But Paul was saying, don't look at this stuff. You need other types of works. Don't be satisfied because you just got in. Now, when you have that attitude, well, you're just satisfied. Well, I'm just saved. As the Puritans said, and they made some mistakes, but one thing they spoke about, which was true, idle hands are the devil's workshop. When you're just happy with just getting in, if you're not working for Christ's kingdom, when you sit on your hands, you'll start working for someone else's kingdom. You ever notice that in life? Did you ever notice that? Some of the most violent, craziest neighborhoods in New York. Everybody's out on the street during working hours. Everybody's home. Or then at night, everybody's out at night. You know a neighborhood just by the time when people wake up. I know when a neighborhood's rocking. Because everybody's on the street after 8 o'clock at night. I know that things aren't going well in the hood. Because I come in and everybody's still in bed at 8 o'clock in the morning. Everybody can't be doing shift work. So what God says rings true. You, like me, we've all had our habits. I don't care what it is. Maybe it's violence. You used to like to punch people, get into fights. You used to like to drink, coke, porn, drugs, whatever it is. One thing you knew, you were sitting around with idle time. It takes time to snort coke. It takes time to score that crack. It takes time to go to the liquor store. Even now, people with the, everybody's gambling. It takes time to get the money together, to go to the store, to play the lotto. Isn't it amazing? When we were young, they used to run the numbers in the neighborhood. Well, that's mafia practice. That's illegal. The state is the biggest number runner that the world has ever seen. 99 games on how to lose your money. And you tell me they have your best interest at heart. I mean, at least in the old days, you used to have to go to Aqueduct, Belmont. It took some time to get to the horses, whatnot. Oh, then they open OTB. Now they close a lot of the OTBs. They don't need anything anymore. We already have casinos in New York. It's at your bodega. So what am I saying? That's not true. So your works will be judged. So be busy in the Word. Be busy in having your faith built up. The devil is a roaring lion. The table is set. And once you go for that fruit you're not supposed to go for, he will eat you, spiritually speaking. There is a death that's worse than physical death. You know how I know? Because some of the people who had the worst addictions or the worst diseases were praying for physical death. Because what they were suffering through in the spirit was worse than death. So be busy. Oh, come on, Pastor. How can I be busy? There's just so many challenges in the world. Many people have their heroes. People they look, God bless you. People they look up to. People they admire. We have our heroes. Maybe the guy could slam a basketball, make a bunch of shots. Maybe he could run for touchdowns. He's got a good arm. He could throw for touchdowns. Maybe you're into the combat sports. You like certain boxers, fighters, whatever. The ladies, you have certain women that are your heroes or you kind of look up to. Oh, she's pretty cool. Look the way she sings. Or that's usually what the world focuses on. And many of us sit around and say, what can I do for the kingdom? I have 50 cents in my pocket. These shoes I've had for the last 5 years, I'm just sick of trying to clean them anymore. They won't come clean. I can't land the job. I don't feel right. My health is going south. What can I do for the kingdom? I'm going to read you a story. I'll read you a bio of someone who's a hero of mine, who's always been a hero of mine. And now and then my wife and I speak about her. And that's Johnny Erickson Todd. Let's read her bio. And this is for the people that feel they're in a position and can't do anything for the Lord. She has a ministry, Joni and Friends. Joni Erickson Tata, the founder and chief executive officer of Joni and Friends International Disability Center, is an international advocate for people with disabilities. A diving accident in 1967 left Joni Erickson, then 17, a quadriplegic in a wheelchair without the use of her hands. So if you're crippled, usually people think of just the legs. She lost the use of all her extremities at 17. So this is her situation. What do you think someone like that can do for the Lord? After 2 years of rehabilitation, she emerged with new skills and a fresh determination to help others in similar situations. During her rehabilitation, Joni spent long months learning how to paint with a brush between her teeth. Her high-detail, fine art paintings and prints are sought after and collected. Her best-selling autobiography, Joni, and the feature film of the same name have been translated into many languages, introducing her to people around the world. Mrs. Tata has also visited more than 45 countries several many times. Mrs. Tata has served on the National Council on Disability and the Disability Advisory Committee to the U.S. State Department. She is Senior Associate for Disability Concerns for the Lausanne Committee for World Evangelization and serves in an advisory capacity to American Leprosy Mission, the National Institute on Learning Disabilities, Love and Action and Christian Blind Mission International, as well as on the Board of Reference for the Christian Writers Guild and the Christian Medical and Dental Society. This is all after losing the use of her legs and her arms. After being the first woman honored by the National Association of Evangelicals as its, quote, layperson of the year, in 1986, Joni was named Churchwoman of the Year in 1993 by the Religious Heritage Foundation. She has received numerous other awards and honors, including the American Academy of Achievements Golden Plate Award, the Courage Award from the Courage Rehabilitation Center, the Award of Excellence from the Patricia Neal Rehabilitation Center, the Victory Award from the National Rehabilitation Hospital, and the Golden Word Award from the International Bible Society. Joni has been awarded several honorary degrees, including Bachelor of Letters from Western Maryland College, Doctor of Humanities from Gordon College, if I'm making the entire gift, Doctor of Humane Letters from Columbia International University, the first bestowed in its 75-year history. So with all the smart guys and smart ladies with all their body parts working, a quadriplegic won that award after 75 years. Doctor of Divinity from Westminster Theological Seminary, Doctor of Divinity from Lancaster Bible College, a Doctor of Humanitarian Services from California Baptist University, and in 2009, a Doctor of Humane Letters by Indiana Wesleyan University. She was also inducted into Indiana Wesleyan University's Society of World Changers. Joni has written over 50 books and numerous magazine articles. She was inducted into the Christian Booksellers Association's Hall of Honor in 1995 and received the Gold Medallion Lifetime Achievement Award in 2003 from the Evangelical Christian Publishers Association. Joni's works covers topics ranging from disability outreach to reaching out to God and include, quote, A Christmas Longing, depicting her best-loved Christmas paintings, a life and death dilemma addressing the tough issues of physician-assisted suicide. The mystery of suffering is systematically examined in, quote, When God Weeps, Why Our Sufferings Matter to the Almighty, a book written with Steve Estes in 1997, which won the Gold Medallion Award. In 2003, Joni wrote her memoir, quote, The God I Love, a quadriplegic from age 17, wrote a book, The God I Love, chronicling a lifetime walking with Jesus. Her latest book, quote, A Place of Healing, recounts her recent journey through physical pain and questions concerning prayer for healing. Beginning in 1982, she began hosting, quote, Joni and Friends. And it's beautiful because, hey, Joel Osteen isn't on there. John MacArthur is. A daily five-minute radio program of information and inspiration. Now 4 minutes in length, the program airs on more than 1,000 outlets and reaches 1 million listeners a week. So from her wheelchair, she continues to reach millions of people. A new one-minute inspirational program, quote, Diamonds in the Dust, also airs on more than 800 stations nationwide. The 30-minute television version of Joni and Friends looks at people who inspired Joni by enduring the most difficult trials while continuing to trust in God. And we can go on and on and on, but this is who I look up to. This is my hero. And this is a woman who knows where she needs to be in the body of Christ. She has power, and she doesn't need a title to have it, because it comes from on high. So the next time you think, I was born in the wrong neighborhood, or I'm not the right ethnic background, or God doesn't understand me, He doesn't understand what I've been through, take a look at people like this. A servant this active, who couldn't wipe her own nose, couldn't even walk anywhere. But God took her and shook the world with her ministry. You can't watch her and not break down. You can't. Not that you feel bad for her, but she puts us to shame. But why does God do that? Because He does it throughout the Bible. He does it throughout history. He's doing it now. He takes those with the least and has them do the most. So this sick, perverted world that tells you you're not worth something unless you have a certain amount of money in your pocket or a certain degree from a certain school can learn its lesson. You can shake the world.
Amen.
It's not just empty words. Now, there's a pretty important teacher, and I'd rather go to him to learn than to someone else's Bible study or systematic theology book. It's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 19.
7:71.
Now I'm going to reread 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. And then we'll jump to Luke chapter 19 and see how this lines up. So go to Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 3, what Paul is speaking about, and then I'll jump right into Luke so you can see how this lines up. Now Paul is speaking about any other foundation laid besides Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Here's Jesus in his parable. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants, And he delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent the message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. So you gave me $1,000, Lord, I turned it into 10 grand. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise unto him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he saith unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank? Could have at least gave it to Capital One, or I would have got interest at least. You sat there on it with the thing in a napkin. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own with usury or interest? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath the 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. This is very powerful stuff, very compact. How do we sort it out? That's what I'm here for. Everybody has to understand this. We have servant number one. He was given 1 pound. Right? He was given 1 pound, which was a unit of money. This was your Joni Erickson Tata type. This is someone that took what was given and just transformed it. And that's why I'm telling you, I don't care. Don't listen to this false gospel. It doesn't matter what your bank account is like or what your health is like. As a matter of fact, the Spirit of God is a greater witness to people when you have nothing and still show your faith anyway. Because that's weird to them. You see? People don't listen to billionaires except on how to make money. People will listen to you. So Johnny Erickson Tata, a person like that, with the extreme disability, age 17, can't move any extremities, has to paint with her teeth, rolls that into a tremendous witness, and is biblical about it. She doesn't want to become a pastor. 1 pound gets turned into 10 pounds. That's servant number one. Not everyone is going to do this. And even someone like we've been describing, even she has things that will be burned away. But she was active. She wasn't just saved to be saved. She was active. She was serving her king. Even without him giving her use of her arms and her legs, she was still active in whatever capacity she could be. Servant number two was given a pound. Now, not as productive, but still productive, and was still complimented by his Lord. So like I said, you don't always have to set the world on fire, but you still have to be active. I'm sorry, 1 pound into 5 pounds. 5 pounds. Now here's the problem. Servant number three. And this is why the church is in the condition the church is in. Servant number three has the title servant, but they're really not. Because they take the light that Jesus has given them. They take the 1 pound and they make excuses. They sit on it. Oh, that's my master. I'm on the right side. I'm saved. That's it. I'm saved. I'm not going out there. My master's an austere man. He thinks that I'm going to go out and give out tracts and have people make fun of me. Or I'm going to give witness to Aunt Sally and have her not invite me over for apple pie and turkey anymore on the holidays.
Aunt Sally still ain't saved.
Aunt Sally still ain't saved. Are you starting to get it now? You start to understand. That's what he was saying. Well, you're a tough man, and all these are all excuses. Jesus is not going to take the excuses. This isn't even first century Christianity. We're not even asked to go to the cross today. And we spoke about that in past sermons. Carrying your cross does not mean you sprained your finger and you still came to church. Carrying the cross meant you carried your cross and you were crucified and you died for the faith. We're not even asked to do that. We're just asked to give out some tracts. You don't like dirty looks? You don't like people getting angry with you? Or upset? I have people say that to me. Well, how can you give witness like that? Don't you feel stupid? I said, I'll give you an illustration. If there was a bank truck riding down the street with $1 million in it, it gets into an accident. By some miracle, the back door opens. There are $100 bills everywhere. You think people would care about punching and pushing and dirty looks? You'd be grabbing every $100 bill you could. Whoever was in the way, young, old, the good, the bad, the ugly, they're all getting it. Boom! Give me that $100. Boom! Give me that $100. Hate to insult you, sister. Boom! Get out of the way. Do you understand? We're all liars. We're hypocrites. You'll take the dirty looks to get some cash. You'll run after that. But you won't give witness for the Lord? You're afraid of the dirty look of somebody not inviting you back to the house? Now, we don't cast our pearls to swine. I'm not saying you drive somebody crazy. They're just ungodly. The Spirit hasn't touched them. You know, they hate your guts and they hate Jesus and they live next door. And for the 1,000th day in a row, hey, brother, would you like that track? I would punch you too. That's not what I'm saying. But give them a chance. You should have given witness to everyone around you at least once. People dust off their feet and walk away from people. They never gave witness to them. So this is that servant. And that servant, even though he's called the servant with the other two, the third servant is in for a big surprise. Because in verses 16 and 17, servant number one is productive, most productive. We have verses 18 and 19. This servant is still productive. Number three is in possession of a dead faith. This is the faith that's dead. It doesn't do anything. This is why James says in the book of James, oh, you believe? That's great. Even the demons believe and tremble. So what does that mean? It's not a dead faith. You have churches filled with sermon number three. Now this isn't to make anyone paranoid, but this is why preaching a weak gospel is dangerous. Don't tell people they can just sit around and as long as they're getting bonuses at work and the boss likes them and they're more popular at the cocktail parties, and they got their new show, L.A. Preachers, and they got big cars and big clothes and the houses and the cable TV deal, that they're doing fine. They're not doing fine. You're in danger of hellfire. So church, they're filled with people like this. The pastors don't love them. The elders don't love them. They love their money. You insult people when you try and push them out of the spot of servant number three and try and get them to the spot of servant number one or number two. It's not easy, but it has to be done. That's what the faith is about. Amen. You want it? Like I tell people, we have some younger men, they visit us at times. people that want to get into the ministry, the number one thing I tell them, listen, man, no matter what you do, if you just want to wear a suit and make money, don't get yourself thrown into hell. Go sell used cars. Really. Don't become a minister. It is not about a salary and the suit and people saying nice things about you. Go sell used cars. Because you can have a big smile, make your money, wear the suit, deceive people, make them feel good. Hey, bro, you're looking good today. You look like you lost weight. Hey, look at this used Camaro right here. Do that as a used car salesman. Don't do that with Christians. Hey, you're looking good. You got a big bonus at work. You must be blessed. Wait a minute. This guy doesn't even know. I got the big bonus at work because I took the boss out. We got hookers and coke and partied all night. What is he talking about? That's how I got my promotion. Oh, you make your money. You must be blessed. And by the way, servant number one, servant number two, these people, it's not the rich versus the poor. It's not. There are rich people that are very godly with their money. There are poor people. You might have $1 to your name, but it's going to be spent on you and no one else. You're not off the hook because of the amount of money you have. So we have a problem with servant number three. Now, God's enemies in verse 27. But those my enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. That is not seeker friendly, but it's going to happen. People who do not have faith in Jesus Christ will go to hell. They're going to go to hell. You don't have to be special or talented, just trust in Him. Your salvation is there. But if you do not believe, if you do not want to be with God, He doesn't want robots. He will not bring you into heaven. And He's so loving, like we said before. Hellfire was not made for people. It was something that had to be created by God to contain Satan and demons and the fallen ones. It wasn't made for you. And the greatest secret that we're not told by our university professors and world-renowned experts, no one really dies. You just shed the body. No one really dies. Your soul does go on. So, make your choice. Pick the place. Now, when you know what God is going to do to outright enemies, how can you not give witness to someone at least once? Just once. It's really not that hard. You ever heard of Jesus? Yeah, what do you think, I'm an idiot? Yeah, I heard of Jesus. Did you ever hear about the gospel or how you're saved? We didn't have to say, yeah, I watched a crusade on TV. You know, they play the music. People start crying. The family tells you, go up. You go up, say, oh, yeah, give my life to the Lord. And then you're done. Then you go back to living the same way you used to live. No. Let me tell you a parable. It was somebody like that. But let me tell you the true gospel. It starts with the cross of Jesus Christ. His love is what saves you. His free gift is what saves you. Free of charge. Don't need a computer, don't have to run a program. I like when people say, oh, if the message is so important, why would God put it in a book? What, you want the message to end when there's a blackout? You want them to be like corporations where you charge for something? Of course it's going to be that simple and in a book. It's a simple message. Jesus Christ paid for your sins.
Amen.
You are wicked, no matter how great you think you are, or how great people in the neighborhood say you are. If you don't have Christ, you're not covered. You're wicked. We all sin. Don't lie. Don't be a liar. I sin too. But I have a covering. I have Jesus Christ. He went to the cross. He died for my sins. Now I live for Him. And because I say that I love Him, the way I show I love Christ is by loving you. And even though you might get mad at me right now, I'm going to tell you who He is anyway. And I'll never bring it up again. You tell me drop dead, no problem. But you're going to hear it once. Is it that hard? Well, if you can't speak that well, just hand them a track. How hard is it to do this? And then run. I've done it. People walk in, they look kind of rough. I really don't feel like getting into it that day. Hey, how you doing? Look, this fell on the floor. There you go, boom, and I run. The word is in their hands. It's a decent track. They're going to get the message. I don't have to put on a show and be there forever. So this is our message today. To be empowered, you have no idea how much power you have. You want to see what happens to the world when they don't have Christ? Open up your window. Look outside. Walk out your front door. Read the newspaper. The economy is going to crash. Now, in this church, at the level of economics we're at, well, it really doesn't matter much. It's crashed already. You know, myself included. I'm really not that worried about it. But for people that have stuff, you will save lives. Do you know that? You are going to save people's lives because they are going to start killing themselves. It already happened in 2008 with the first crash. You had a dad drive out with the wife and the kids, shot everybody, and then shot himself. Because he was afraid they'd all have to go into a shelter because he lost a high-paying job. You have people blowing their brains out, ODing, driving off cliffs because they feel they have no hope. I just saw something, an article the other day, some kid killed two dads. One had four kids and one had two kids. I think it was in Long Island. And what happened was the kid felt he had nothing to live for, so he committed suicide with his car by smashing into their car. All they did was take a coffee run. Now you have all these kids without a dad. You will save lives. And let me tell you something else that you know from life experience, especially if you've grown up in the city. The ones that look like they have it together the most, that's the one you'll read about in the obituary. That's the one that's going to hurt themselves. Don't think people got it all together. Don't be fooled by the clothes and the money and the attitude. The people that as a minister break down in front of me and cry uncontrollably when I tell them about the love of Christ and the hope that they have are the hard-looking gangbanger, the prostitute, the drug addict. Even better, the guy making it on Wall Street has his own chair on the stock market. These are the people that are broken down in front of me. The doctor, the lawyer. So don't think because someone seems to have it all together, you're off the hook. You give witness to everybody. And remember, we've been saying this the last 4 years, 5 years. These streets are not going to be the same. People are not going to be the same. So if you've been sitting on the sideline for a while, if you used to be servant number one, and the church broke your heart, or something broke your heart, and now you're servant number three, just sitting on the sideline, get back in the driver's seat. Start doing the works that you need to do for the King. Amen. Because He is watching from heaven. Amen. 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 Almighty God, we ask You, Lord, that You would keep us a loving church and a motivated church. We thank You, Lord, that with all our imperfections, as crazy as we are at times and as sinful as we are, You still love us. And when we repent and come to that cross to see You, to see what You've done for us, You pick us up off our feet. And when life knocks us out, You give us the spiritual smelling salts and pick us up. And we pray, Lord, that we will be mighty warriors for You, especially in this day and age where people have already lost much of their material wealth and will lose more very soon. We pray, dear God, You make us courageous and give me witness for You. Every person here, all of us, Lord, no matter what our financial position, what shape our body's in, we pray, Lord, You give us all the courage to carry some Bible tracts, give witness to people. We pray for a revival in Coney Island, that every godly church would be packed on Sunday, and every bar, strip club, and ungodly place would not be packed on Friday night. But the churches would be packed with people wanting to come to You, Lord, come to the cross for healing and for cleansing, and then go out like an army. And we pray, dear God, that we would be like His Son, tear down the works of the devil, and that we could tear down the darkness in high places that have held this neighborhood hostage for so many years, dear God. We pray that You would send Your angels to chase out the darkness. Send Your Spirit. Please, Lord, bring us a revival before it's too late. We thank You, Lord, always in the name of Your Son, our only King, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen.